I'm just curious, who's the great Torah scholar that's coming to address everyone today? I'll have to stick around for that, I guess. The fire drill, I guess, is slavless. I guess that's the energy that everyone's feeling now. You know, after the Yom Noram, after the entire Yom Tovim period, it's kind of like the feeling at the end of a marathon. I never ran a marathon. I don't know what it's like to run a marathon. My wife was once in a half marathon. But you can imagine after running, like you're going full speed and you're going and it's just one thing into the next and you're going and you're going and you're going. And you finally cross the finish line and it's kind of like, so now where do I go? I like walk home, I get into a car. You've been just running and running and running. You're kind of lost as you come to that lull after running nonstop. So Klal Yisrael just finished a very long marathon. And I want to just go back to the beginning of the adventure that we just completed. You know, from the opening gunshot that starts the marathon, the sounding of the shofar at the beginning of Chodesh Elul. Think about, let's just reflect a little bit on everything we've been through. And then ask ourselves, where do we go from here? So let's go back to Elul for a minute. What would we do without Elul? What would the Jewish people do without Elul? Now, Hashem gave me an interesting remez, a nice hint a number of years ago, that when Aleph Elul comes, when we come to Rosh Chodesh Elul, there's like a sigh of relief. As much as there's an intensity of the days, there's a sigh of relief that, oh, we made it to Elul. Now maybe there's a chance I can get my act together and be the type of Jew I'm supposed to be. So Hashem put an interesting remez in my mind. Aleph Elul is Rashi Tevos, like we say in the Asher Yatzar. E Afshar L'Skayim V'Lamod L'Fanecha. That if not for Aleph Elul, if not for Rosh Chodesh Elul, how would we survive? If we don't begin this process that begins with that, again, that sounding of the shofar at the beginning of Chodesh Elul, a month of tshuva, to start the process of preparing ourselves to come before Kodesh Baruch Hu on Rosh Hashanah and on Yom Kippur, to stand lifnei Hashem. Do we understand what that means? To stand lifnei Hashem? It's an intense thing. It's behind us now, but even to reflect on what that meant, even now that we're not in the intensity of the moment, to think back, to stand before Kodesh Baruch Hu, to be judged by the Creator of the universe. It's brought in Svarim, Yosef Chaim Zonnenfeld. There was a Rav named Rav Shem Klingberg. He was killed by the Nazis, Yimach Shem. He wrote a small sefer called Ohel Hashem. They both point out that the word Rosh Hashanah has the gematria 861. There's only one pasuk in all of Tanakh that has the exact gematria 861. And when you hear the pasuk, you're going to say that pasuk is Rosh Hashanah. That pasuk describes Rosh Hashanah. What's the pasuk? It's a pasuk in Tehillim, Perakuf Yotes. L'mishpatecha amdu hayom ki akol avadecha. L'mishpatecha amdu. To stand before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, like it says in the Davening, we're standing before Yom Hashem in trepidation. L'mishpatecha amdu hayom ki akol avadecha. Gematria 861. So we spend the time period of Elul, we're getting ready, and we come to that day, and we're standing there before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And we come to Rosh Hashanah, and Rosh Hashanah is a day that's filled with such energy. You know, to be mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to declare HaMelech, to hear not just the tekiah shofar of a minog, but to hear a mitzvah of a tekiah shofar. To sit Rosh Hashanah night with our apple and our honey and all our different simanim, which are sometimes fun and sometimes silly, but they're very deep ideas. And from there we come to the days of the Aseret Yemei Teshuva, days of tremendous closeness to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like the Gemara describes, Dir Shu Hashem Bihimatso, attach yourself to Hashem, seek Him out when He can be found. Karu Biyoso Karov, that's a reference to the 10 days of Teshuva, the Aseret Yemei Teshuva. From there we continue on our journey, we come to the absolutely purifying day of Yom Kippur, to come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, in a day where Itzumo Shoyom, the very air of Yom Kippur, is Mechaper. The bells of Rebbe used to go out Yom Kippur afternoon and just take deep breaths. And breathe in the air of Yom Kippur. It's Itzumo Shoyom Mechaper. It's in the air on Yom Kippur. It's automatic. The Jewish people are undergoing this unbelievable purification. And from there, immediately we go rushing into the days that prepare us for Sukkot. 4 days that are sometimes overlooked. Very lofty days. Chazal described those days as days without sin. We're so busy with our lulav and our esrog and building a sukkah and trying to get ourselves ready for the yontiv that Hashem literally doesn't count averos for those 4 days. There's just no time for averos. We're so busy with mitzvot, the Medrash says. When we come to sukkahs, it's rishon by taking the lulav and esrog. It says, ulekachtem lachem bayom harishon. And the Medrash says, rishon lacheshbon avonos. This is the first day where Hashem starts calculating our sins again. We're so busy, there's no time for averos. Those days in between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, unbelievable days. The Chassam Sofer was the Gadol Hador in his generation. Chassam Sofer spent every waking hour learning Torah. But he put out a book of poetry. People don't know about this. Songs. Beautiful lyrics. Songs that he wrote. So his son, Rav Shimon Sofer, once asked him, Tati, Abba, Dad, when did you write these songs? Because every time I saw you, you were busy with a sefer, with a Gemara. When did you have time to write these songs? Here's what the Chassam Sofer told his son. V'heishiv v'chassam sofer. This is brought in the footnote to a small sefer called Rachamei Ha'av. It says that the Chassam Sofer responded to his son, Rav Shimon Sofer of Krakow, Shevedalid yamim shebein yom kippurim l'sukkos. Those 4 days between Yom Kippur and Sukkot, they're such great days. Migodal hadveikus shalom. I'm so overwhelmed by coming out of Yom Kippur and getting excited for Sukkot. It's non-stop. I can't concentrate. I can't learn. So what do? I pour out those emotions, those feelings of love, I turn them into songs. Migodal hadveikus shalom lohaya yachol lilmod. So he sat then, and he wrote these beautiful songs to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Unbelievable days. Then we finally have the schus to enter the sukkah. We walk into the sukkah. The sukkah is described by the Zohar as the tzeilah de mehamnusa, to sit in the shadow of a Kadosh Baruch Hu, to be basking in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's presence. The Arizal says the sukkah is a divine hug. What does that mean? It's a divine hug. The minimum shear, the smallest measure for a sukkah to be kosher, is 2 walls and a tefach. Says the Arizal. If you look at a hug, you have one wall, you have a second wall, and this is a tefach. You're sitting in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's hug. It's an amazing kavana to have by the sukkah. You didn't have it this year, I have it next year. To sit wrapped in a Kadosh Baruch Hu's arm, wrapped around you. It's the avir of the Eretz Yisrael, it's the air of Eretz Yisrael. The Sfarim talk about what it's like to be in the sukkah. So many opportunities to connect to a Kadosh Baruch Hu, this entire tekufa. And then we go from V'ha'isa ach sameach of sukkahs, the Simchas Beis HaShueva, the great celebration. You come to our Hashanah Rabbah, a day where Kadosh Baruch Hu gives us a chance to be judged one bit more. Maybe to change some of the things that didn't go exactly right on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur. And from there, of course, we come to Shmini Atzeres, which is the Yichud Gamur, the absolute closest to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when Hashem pushes away the nations of the world and says, I want private time with the Jewish people. And we tap it all off with the celebration of Simchas Torah. To take HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Kibiyachal, in our hands, the word of Hashem, the closest thing we can have to holding Hashem in our hands, to dance before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, to celebrate with the Torah, an unbelievable stretch. And as if that wasn't enough, Hashem in His kindness this year gave us a Shabbos. Hashem says, like the Medrash says, like the Chazal say, Koshe Elai Predoschem, it's hard to let go. That's the feeling of Shmini Atzeres and Simchas Torah. Hashem says, it's hard to let go, I'll give you an extra day this year. And as much as there's a part of us that after this long stretch, we want to just rest and catch our breath, right? But to soak it up, to think about the good times that we had over the past month and a half. And that leaves us with the question. So where do we go now? The marathon's over. Where does Klal Yisrael go? What's the avodah? What do we focus on? It's a long stretch before we get back to another yontif. So what are we supposed to be feeling in these days? We started to say, Mashiv haruach ha-marid ha-geshem. I think you could say, b'derach drush, Mashiv haruach, the ruach, the ruchnias is starting to return to its place, u-marid ha-geshem, and the gashmias is back in place. We're back to life, mundane life, regular life. You wake up Sunday morning after that 3 day of Shmini Atzeres, Simchas Torah, Shabbos. You wake up Sunday morning, you ask, did this even really happen? But I don't feel so changed by it necessarily. How much was I able to hold on to? It was so much, it was so quick. The Yetzer Hara is back, our old friend. And he's got all of his old complaints. And he's peppering us with all sorts of questions. So, you really think you took advantage of Elul? You know, you said you were going to learn with your friend on the phone every night, and the first couple of days it worked, and then kind of fell apart, and then Rosh Hashanah, I noticed that during the rabbi's drush on Rosh Hashanah, you dozed off for a few minutes. So you say to Yitzhak, but the rest of Rosh Hashanah is davening. Yeah, but don't you know that the Shulchan Aruch says from the Talmud Yerushalmi that if you sleep on Rosh Hashanah, it's going to be a sleepy year, so you slept a few minutes, so it's not going to be a very good year for you. And what about Yom Kippur? By the end of Nehillah, you know, yeah, you were davening, but you're also thinking about the bagel and the lox. And the Yitzhak comes and he tries to take everything that we've been working on away from us. He tries to pull it all away at the last minute. And there's a part of us that says, you know, Shkoyach, welcome back, you know. It was nice to have you out of my hair for a little bit. And he's back and he's up to his old ways. And we're becoming convinced of it. And life gets back to normal. You're back in college. Back to your English papers. Back to your unfinished lab assignments. Back to finding a roommate. Or a bigger apartment. Or a shidduch. Or a job. Or all the things that you kind of put on hold for that period of time to just enjoy the yontif. All those things come back. Mashiv haruach, the ruchnias is gone. Marina gashem, we're back into the grind. So what should we be feeling? What's our response to the cynical Yetzer Hara? Where do we go? Where do we go at the end of the marathon? And I think the answer is that we have to just simply know the facts. What are the facts? The facts are, regardless of how much we think we've changed, when you undergo this type of process, whether you win the marathon or don't win the marathon, if you run the marathon, if you finish the marathon, if you've been through a marathon, if you've gone through this entire tekufa, it's impossible to not feel different. It's impossible to not be different. You're a different person. We're changed. We may not recognize that externally, but the first thing we have to know is that to accept the spiritual reality that the Jewish people have changed. You don't go through Rosh Hashanah and Aseres Yemei Teshuvah and Yom Kippur and Sukkot, v'chulu v'chulu. You don't go through all of these things and walk out the same person. It's just not possible. The Baal HaTanya, the first Lubavitcher Rebbe, wrote a small pamphlet called the Yaras HaTshuva. And he says a remarkable thing in the 11th parak. He says a person has to have a muna in the cleansing process. We come before Hashem, we daven. We say, Hashem, cleanse me, purify me, erase my sins. We ask and we ask and we ask. We have to believe that this is a reality, that if I'm going to ask for it, if I ask, he says, if you'd ask a human being, with a little rachmanis, the way we come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu, if you went to a regular human being with the way we come before Hashem, a person's heart would be touched. You don't think Hashem, in all of His mercy, could find a place for us? We have to believe that when we ask Hashem to cleanse us, we're cleansed. And when we ask Hashem to purify us, we're purified. We have to believe that it's a spiritual reality. And he says we have to believe it to such a degree, b'lishum safek v'sveik sveik kabbalah. There can't even be a bit of hesitation to question, did Yom Kippur really work? And if it worked, why do I feel the same? Why do I feel exactly the same? Maybe a little different, but not the difference that I expected to feel. We have to believe, b'lishum safek v'sveik sveik kabbalah. And he brings a halachic proof. Think about it. Every single day in Shemot Esrei, we say a bracha on tshuva. We say a bracha, Baruch Ata Hashem, Chanun Hamarbel Islach. What's the halach when it comes to a bracha? If there's a suffix, if there's a doubt about making a bracha, what's the rule? Suffix brachos, lahakel. You can't make the bracha if you're not sure that it's going to work. So says the Baal HaTanya, the fact that we make a bracha, Hashem, I'm saying your name, Baruch Ata Hashem, I'm saying a bracha, I'm saying a fact, Chanun Hamarbet Lislavach, fact, you love us, you will forgive us, that's a reality, I can say that bracha without hesitating. I don't know, maybe not me, Safik Brachos Lahakel, maybe I shouldn't say it. We all say it, the entire Klal Yisrael can say it with confidence. That's a reality, says the Baal HaTanya. And it's our job to believe in that reality. It's hard to believe in that reality, don't get me wrong. So I want to share with you two mashalim, which will hopefully help us to believe in that reality a little bit more. The first mashal, it's actually a story, then I'll share a mashal. A story from a sefer called Dor Dea. He was a very special Jew by the name of Dr. Guardia, like LaGuardia, the airport. Dr. Guardia, I'm not sure how it's pronounced. He was an irreligious person, a person who was a very well-respected doctor. He served as the personal physician for the king of Prussia at the time. And somehow, there's different accounts exactly how it came to be, but somehow, the Maggid of Mezrich, the second leader of the Hasidic world, somehow came into contact with this doctor, and he was Makar him. He brought him in as one of his Talmidim. He was Chozer B'tshuva entirely. One time, this doctor came to the Maggid of Mezrich feeling very brokenhearted. And he says, you know, Rebbe, I'm trying to change. I'm trying to be a different person. I'm doing so many things differently. I'm trying to do so many things differently. He says, but I'm plagued. My mind is plagued by thoughts of my old life. I lived 30, 40, 50, however old he was. He wasn't a young man. I lived many years, tens of years, as a completely irreligious person. And the things that I did, and the way that I used to think, and the language I used to use, and all of the things that I used to be, it's hard to get it out of your system. Believe me, I'm careful. I try not to involve myself in those behaviors. But it's still ringing in my mind. And it's troubling me terribly. So the Maggid told him the following mashal. He said, there was once a fellow, called him Maishala, and he had a tavern. This Maishal had a tavern, somewhere out in the middle of nowhere. And the local Gentile farmers used to come to his tavern, Maishal's bar and grill. They'd come after, you know, a long day in the field, they'd come to get some drinks. And one drink led to another. And before you know it, it was a regular routine. The entire chevra there, they'd get drunk, and they'd start smashing bottles, and they'd start fighting, and they'd break things, and they'd end up passed out in front of his... He decided at one point, you know what, I can't do this anymore. Business was good. Yeah, I just can't. I can't live like this anymore. I can't start my day every morning sweeping up the broken glass from the bar fights the night before. So Maishal decided, you know what? I'm changing businesses. I'm going into something else. He decides, he puts up a sign, Maishal's Bar and Grill is now called Maishal's Organic Fruit Market, whatever it was. And he said, that's it, I'm done. I'm going to open a little makolet. I'll sell some regalach. Yeah. And he decided, that's it. What happened? You know, the chevra was used to drinking by his bar for a long time. So the next day, the chevra shows up, we're banging on the door. No, Maishal, let us in. Give us some whiskey, give us some vodka. And Maishal screams back at them, no, you don't understand. That's not here anymore. Get out of here. There's nothing here for you anymore. I mean, unless you like organic fruit. But there's nothing, there's no whiskey, there's no vodka, there's no bar. And they said, no, but Maishal, let us in. We always drink. No, that doesn't exist here anymore. The Maggid of Mezrich said to this Dr. Guardia, He said, say to your Yetzirah when he comes around, that doesn't exist here anymore. That shop is closed. That store is closed. That business is done. And when you say that to your Yetzirah, when you say it with confidence, with the belief in the emunah, that Baruch Ata Hashem Chanun Amar Bel Islaach, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu actually does forgive us, and He does cleanse us, and it's a mitzvah, it's a reality, that Hashem is willing to let go. One of my students texted after, he tweeted actually, after Yom Kippur. He said, Hashem has forgiven us, but have we forgiven ourselves? It's a great question. We're hanging on to the Averis. Hashem says, it's good, we're good. It's closed. Moshe's Bar and Grill is done. There's no more whiskey, there's no more vodka. There's no more of the rowdy behavior here. It's a whole different Indian now. But step one is to believe that. Again, it's not easy to believe. So I'll tell you a second mashal. A mashal from the Magad, from the Be'er Mayim Chaim. The Be'er Mayim Chaim, Rav Chaim Chernovitzer, Zuchus Yigen Aleinu, very great tzaddik, he writes the following in his sefer Be'er Mayim Chaim. It sounds a sad story. There was a young boy, he wasn't well. He fell into a coma, very, very sick. Doctors weren't sure, is he going to make it, is he not going to make it? They decided to bring in a specialist. So they fly in a specialist. I guess in the olden days, they flew him in by horse and buggy. They flew in a specialist, and he comes and he starts administering some very heavy medication. And the parents are standing there, the kid is passed out, white as a ghost, totally unconscious. The parents are standing there, anxious to see what happens. A few minutes go by, the kid's still there, his eyes are closed, no color returning to his face. Doctor takes his pulse and says, oh, good news. Your son is healthy. He's healthy. Really? The parents look at him. Our son is healthy. So maybe we missed something. Right? Did he speak to you? Did he open his eyes? Did his color return for a second? Did we miss something? Did we blink? He's still passed out. He's sprawled out on his back. He looks exactly the same. What makes you so sure, they said to the doctor, that our son is going to be healthy, let alone that he's healthy now? And he said, no, you don't understand. He said, I've seen this many times. I've seen this illness. I know how it works. I administered a heavy dose of this medication, and I could tell, by feeling his pulse, I could see that very slightly he responded to the medication. But if the medication works, if I see that it's taking root, it's going to work. Which means that you're looking at your son right now, and you're seeing him right now, but I know, it's going to be a long process, but I know it's working. So in my mind, essentially, he's healthy already. Says the Be'er Mayim Chaim, when the Jewish people come through Yom Kippur, when the Jewish people emerge from this entire tikkufa, this entire process that began in El, ending with Sukkos, HaKadosh Baruch Hu looks at us and says, I see that you're healthy. It's going to take a little bit of time until you see that. It may not be apparent on the surface. You may not be able to see it with your own eyes yet. But I can assure you, says HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I looked to you and I could see that it's taking place beneath the surface. That's why the Baskol comes out on Motzei Yom Kippur and says, go, everyone go, enjoy, eat, celebrate. I don't feel so changed. I know that I'm supposed to be, but I don't feel changed. Hashem says, go eat, you're healthy, you're fine. Everything's going to be okay. It's going to be a process to bring it to the surface. But the Metzias is, internally you're a different person. Externally, it's going to take some time. And you look at some of the psukim in the Torah, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu reminds the Jewish people, don't always judge a book by its cover. What's going on the surface, what's going on externally, is not always the best way to gauge a situation. If you look at yourself externally, after this entire period of time, and you don't see that you're very different, you'll become depressed. But if we can engage ourselves, we can look deeply inside of ourselves, and try to accept and appreciate the internal changes that have taken place, we'll feel a lot more happy. We'll be able to rejoice. We'll be able to actually move forward, and to actualize some of those things that we promised the Kadosh Baruch Hu, on Rosh Hashanah and Yom Kippur, that we're going to change. I'll just show you a few psukim that I think bring out this idea. There's a vart they say, from Rav Simcha Bunu of Prashischa. It's in a slightly different context, but I think it applies very nicely here. Pasuk in Parshas Veschanan. What does it say in Parshas Veschanan? It says, "Uvikashtem mishamas Hashem Elokecha umatzasa ki sizreshenu b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha." Rav Simcha Bunu and many other of the Chassidish rabbis explained, "Uvikashtem misham es Hashem Elokecha." We have a problem. The Jewish people have a tendency, "Uvikashtem misham." I'm looking for what I'm needing in my life, what I want to be feeling. I'm looking for it somewhere else. "Uvikashtem misham." Maybe it's there. Maybe it's there. Maybe it's there. When we're looking externally, mikashta misham, to see, externally, do I look different? I look at myself in the mirror. Do I see? Is it reflecting? Is it external? Uvikashta misham and Hashem Elokecha, it's going to lead to nothing but frustration. Says the Pasuk, where are you going to find the changes? If you're a little bit smarter, if you're a little bit more mature, if you understand how spiritual growth works, where are you going to look? Says the end of the Pasuk, umatzasa, where will you actually find it? Ki sidrashenu b'chol levavcha v'chol nafshecha. Stop looking externally. Stop expecting yourself to be this completely changed external person. Look inside and realize the mitzias, the spiritual reality, that something took place over the past 6 weeks. Come to terms with that. be comfortable with that. When we look externally, we bring ourselves to nothing but frustration. When HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave the Torah to the Jewish people, we know Kaf Aleihem Har Kigigis. Gemara says the Jewish people said Nasa V'Nishma. This is the question the Rishonim ask. But at the end of the day, Hashem needed to hold a gun to write the forces into Kabbalah Satara. Kaf Aleihem Har Kigigis. Hashem held the mountain overhead and said, accept the Torah or Shom Teik Furascham. There you shall be buried. My father has a question he likes to ask. Truth is, I found it in later years in Sfarim, which teaches us that if we listen to our parents, if we're willing to accept what our parents have to say to us, you'll see that it's, as we get a little older, we start to realize that they have what to say. Shom Teik Furascham. Hashem standing here, holding a mountain over our head, here, and Hashem says, accept the Torah or there you will be buried. Why doesn't it say Po Teik Furascham? I mean, Shom Teik Furascham. At first, it sounds like a silly question, but it's a very good question. Shom Teik Furascham. So I was thinking just the other night, I was thinking what to share with you. Shom Teik Furascham. If you have the attitude of Shom, that over there, how does it look externally? Shom Teik Furascham. Shom can destroy you. When Hashem gave the Jewish people the Torah, He said, if you're going to be looking over there, if you're going to be expecting to see things externally, if I'm only going to be able to gauge my internal change by how much does it shine forth, Shom Teik Furascham. You're going to make yourself nuts. You're going to make yourself crazy. In the Tochacha, Kadosh Baruch Hu says to the Jewish people, He warns the Jewish people, what's going to be the great punishment of the Tochacha? The words of the Tochacha are also a bracha in disguise if you can read them properly. It's a warning, don't fall into this trap. It's not just punishment. It's a warning, it's an attitude that a Jew is supposed to have. What does it say in the Tochacha? Parshas Kisavo. The Pasuk says, V'hayisa meshuga memare einecha asher tira. Things are going to get so bad. It's going to be such a holocaust, it's going to be such upheaval that you're going to go crazy from the things that you see. And I think there's a simple vart we could say here. What does it mean, Vahisam Beshuga? You're going to make yourself nuts. You'll make yourself crazy. Mimare einecha asher tira. If you're looking for results, if it's all about what can I see, if I don't see a change, then there's not really a change. If that's the way I'm going to measure my life, my spiritual growth, you will make yourself crazy. It's not always about what's happening superficially. It's not always about how different do I look on the outside. I'm not talking about the way we dress. I'm not talking about those types of external things. I'm just saying, how much is there a perception that others can see it on me? Right? And if that's my measuring stick for spiritual growth, so you'll spend your whole life making yourself crazy. A Jew has to realize, a thoughtful Jew, or Jewess, has to realize that spiritual growth takes place internally. It takes place beneath the surface. It takes place in a very deep place in the heart of a Jew. And when we understand that, we can nurture that seed that's planted inside, and eventually it'll emerge. But if I'm always looking for Shom, if I'm always looking Mare Necha, what do I see? How do I look different in the mirror after Yom Kippur, after a Sukkot, after a Tshuva Meir on a Tshuva Me'ava? How different do I appear to the world? If that's how I'm going to measure myself, Vayisa Meshuga Me'mare Necha Asher Tira. Before Yontif, one of my friends brought me a new sefer. It just put out the writings of Rav Gifter, Rav Mordechai Gifter, one of the great Russian yeshiva, Chassadik Levracha from the Telz Yeshiva. Amazing volume, beautiful drushos. He has in there a drusha called Aliyah LaTorah. Talks about what does it mean to grow in Torah. Seeking spiritual growth. It was actually a shmuz that he gave in Mar Cheshvan in 1959. This time of the year, many years ago. And Rav Gifter was not a chassid, he was a pious Jew, but he wasn't a chassidish person. And yet he has a beautiful quote that I want to share with you from the Baal Shem Tov. He tells a very fascinating thing. Listen to this. He's describing, again, the different struggles we have when it comes to growing as Jews. He says there's many different reasons why we struggle. You know, we have the highs and then we have the lows. We have times when we're feeling spiritually charged and then slowly, like we said, a person starts to evaluate oneself, to size oneself up. How am I doing spiritually? And we use all sorts of strange ways to judge ourselves. And you say, you know what, I'm just not a person of Torah. My place is not in the Beis Medrash. My place is not in Shul. My place is not within the vibrant, thriving Jewish community. I'm more of a person who's on the outskirts. There's a lot of reasons, says Rav Gifter. It's a complicated emotional state that we're in. But there's a lot of reasons why we think, that's not me. I'm someone who's superficial. I'm outside of that inner circle of Hashem's world. So he quotes the following. Val achas hamidanu, one of the ways that we feel spiritually dissatisfied, is revealed to us by Rav Yisrael Ish Kozhnitz. The Kozhnitz are Magid. The Avodas Yisrael. One of the great rabbis. Shepam cholam b'chalomo, she's owning lefnei Baal Shem Tov. Zecher Tzadik Levracha. One time he was standing in his dream, he was standing in front of the Baal Shem Tov, the founder of the Hasidic movement. And he's standing in front of him, he's complaining to him. I don't feel like I'm growing. I don't actually feel like I'm changing. And he's complaining to the Baal Shem Tov. The Baal Shem Tov says to him, you're thinking like a katan. V'yagilo Baal Shem Tov. Hinchatoa b'dimyonecha. Your whole dimyon, this whole imaginative world that you've created for yourself, what it means to be a successful Jew, what it means to be a growing Jew, to be a person who's matzliach, your whole world view is off. Hatino kishamaschilaloch, when a baby that's crawling around on its stomach finally stands up for the first time. Can you imagine? We can imagine. We were there once upon a time. I don't know if you remember so well, but we were all there once upon a time. I can see it now. And my daughter's 2 years old now, but not long ago. She's crawling around, now she's on her feet. Boy, you could see the excitement. Now I can wreck your house. Right, I'm gonna pull things down from places you never imagined. I can climb now. There's like this transformation that takes place. Right, I was a baby, but now like, I'm a big girl. I can walk around. But when a baby gets up for the first time, says the Baal Shem Tov, Yargish Barzeh Hargosha Nifla. It's an unbelievable transformation. I went from the world of sliding around in my stomach to being part of humanity. I can walk now. I'm part of people. But once you get used to walking, how many of us still get excited? You can wake up in the morning. We should. Halavai, we should. It's a bracha to be able to get up in the morning, get out of bed, right? But do we feel that same excitement, that energy, that pulsing energy? That I can walk. I'm on my feet now. As time goes on, that dissipates. And we have to strive for other things. So what do you see? Says the Baal Shem Tov. When you're in the world of a katan, the little changes are a big deal. But as you get older, when you enter the world of godless, not only in age, but in quality, when you want to be a big person, a big Jew, so the changes are much more subtle. Don't expect to see it on the surface all the time. Don't expect to feel it the same way that you felt it. I'm sure many of us in this room had the opportunity to spend a year or maybe more in Eretz Yisrael. So when a person experiences certain things that you experienced a year in seminary, right, which I'm sure, again, many of you had the opportunity, to have such a thing. So you went on an amazing, you know, Shabbaton, a trip, a speaker, or this, or that. Those first experiences, which were radically different. So there's a certain energy, it's so exciting. And we think that, now I'm really growing. And then you get back to America, and you're in Stern, and you're in college, and life is normal, and you're trying to stay from, and you're trying to stay learning and davening and connected. But there's so many other things pulling you in every different direction. And you assume, I'm not growing anymore. Right? It's just not happening anymore. Says the Baal Shem Tov, the aliyah that takes place in the realm of godless, it's much more subtle. It doesn't have that hispilus, that superficial hispilus. It's harder to recognize. You don't see it as easily. You need to look deep inside yourself to recognize it. To recognize that it is taking place. You may not see it right away, but it's taking place internally. To recognize that the changes are taking place deep inside our heart. I'm sure some of you are thinking of a video that someone showed me a couple of years ago. I'm positive someone here must be thinking it. So tell me, you raise your hand if you're brave enough to confess. The bamboo. I knew Alana was going to know what it is. The bamboo. Who knows what I'm talking about? The bamboo? The Aish video? The Chinese bamboo? Okay, homework assignment. And I don't really teach her, but I can give homework. Why not? I don't give homework in Hawaii. I can give homework here. Homework assignment, go on age.com and search, or just Google the Chinese bamboo. Amazing, amazing video. 2 minute video. What happens in this video? It teaches you how bamboo grows. That's, you know, what's so exciting about that? I'll tell you what's so exciting about that. When you're growing bamboo, you're out in the field for 5 years straight watering your plant. The plant that you don't see. The plant that you literally do not see. You're watering the spot in the ground and waiting as if miraculously something's going to happen. Can you imagine? 2 months go by, 4 months go by, 6 months go by, a year goes by, a year and a half, 2 years, 3 years. At what point do you start to say, maybe this is not happening? 4 years go by, 5 years go by. 5 years and you see absolutely nothing. And what happens suddenly? Suddenly in a period of a few weeks, feet and feet and feet of bamboo shoot out of the ground. It's an unbelievable thing. That's what religious growth is like. You plant and you plant and you plant and you try and you try and you try. And then finally, not when you decide it's right, but when HaKadosh Baruch Hu decides it's right. Finally, there's this breakthrough. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, now's the time. And all of a sudden, you see things. It starts shooting forth to the surface. But you have to believe that it's happening inside. That farmer has to believe. You have to water that bamboo. You have to nurture that bamboo in order to eventually have it emerge so vibrant and so strong. On Yom Kippur, by Kol Nidre, when we take out this Sifrei Torah, and we're ready for this intense moment the swearing in, so to speak, by Yom Kippur. What's the pasuk we recite? A pasuk in Tehillim. A pasuk in Tehillim. Or zaru al tzaddik uli yishrei leiv simcha. Right, the chazan chants it. Or zaru al tzaddik uli yishrei leiv simcha. It's like that contemplative moment. Like, okay, Yom Kippur's starting. This is it. This is real now. We're getting ready for Kol Nidre. What does that mean? Or zaru al tzaddik uli yishrei leiv simcha. In the very back of the Darash Moshe Feinstein. Listen to this. Where Moshe Feinstein says, what does it mean, Or Zaruah Latzadik? Ha-Pasuk Or Zaruah She'omer B'tchilas Sidrei HaTfilos Hu-Lahagid HaTachlis Me'ayom HaKadosh. What is this day about? What is Yom Kippur about? What are we trying to achieve? Me'atzom, Me'abachios, the crying, the fasting, the hope of Yom Kippur. What is it all about? She'lo yiyu k'mo she'bochim al davar she'nifsad kfar. We're not crying over a loss. We're not crying over something that's not going to happen. We're crying tears of hope over something that's going to happen. El shehu kedei l'taken. Listen to his words. V'hu sha'af sh'roa ha'adam she'eino matzliach b'maisav. A person feels, I'm planting, and nothing's happening. Says Rav Moshe Feinstein, lo yisya'ish. Don't be miyayish. Don't give up hope. El sheyeh be'enav kezoreya or. Or is that, it's an amazing image. It's a beautiful image. Or Zaru, you're planting light. You're planting light. You're planting light, and you're planting more of this light, and eventually it's going to burst forth and light up the whole world. Or Zaru al Tzadik. It should be in your eyes, says Rav Moshe Feinstein, because Oreha Or. Should Derech Zriya, how does planting work? When you plant something, Hazer Onim Shamatu Bakarka near Kovim, when we call Makum Yotze Mizeh Peros Harbe. First, the seed has to rot, and as the seed is at that point of near complete destruction, all of a sudden, the Chinese bamboo bursts forth. But a person has to plant that or. They have to believe that or is being implanted in your heart, in your neshama. It's only the person, or is that rule at tzaddik, only a person who truly understands tzidkus and really understands how HaKadosh Baruch Hu works, only such a person is able to eventually see that light. After the Holocaust, you can imagine the feeling in any Jewish community, any part of the world. There was a dreamer, some by the name of the Panovich Rav. The Panovich Rav built the yeshiva in Panovich today. I don't tell you about the yeshiva in Panovich. It's one of the elite yeshivas of the world. Certainly in Eretz Yisrael. The Panovich Yeshiva. Can you imagine what it was like to be at the cornerstone laying ceremony of the Panovich Yeshiva? It's brought in the biography. One of the biographies is the Chazon Ish, the Pe'er Hador, in Volume 2. It says the Chazon Ish describes the Chazon Ish was active in helping Panovich get started. And it describes how the Chazon Ish was standing there at this. It was a very small gathering on a hilltop as they put down a stone. Where the Panovich Rav said, one day there's going to be a yeshiva here. And they started to recite some Tehillim. And he says, afterwards, he says, the Panovich Rav was standing in that spot crying bitter tears. And the Chazon Ish said an amazing thing. The Chazon Ish said, you know, when you start something, when you get together, when people get together and they have a nice idea, and they sit around together, and they have a little cake and a little schnapps, and they're dreaming of an idea, says the Chazon Ish, with a little cake and a little schnapps, maybe you'll be matzliach, maybe you won't be matzliach. But hazorim bedima, berine yitzaro. When a person plants tears, when a person's willing to cry over it, when a person realizes, again, from the depths of one's being, the tears that emanate from the deepest part of a person, when a person's able to bring that out, to accept that there's a reality, to plant those tears, or zaru al tzaddik, v'lishrei leiv simcha, hazarim b'dima said the Chazon Ish, berini yitzaro. A person who plants with tears is guaranteed to see results. And the Chazon Ish, the reality that many people saw, said there's going to be a great yeshiva in this spot one day. It's a fact. It has to be that way. You start with schnapps and cake? Maybe yes, maybe no. You start with tears. You plant tears in the ground? Guaranteed to work. Guaranteed to work. Kadosh Baruch Hu gave us, I think, in last week's parsha, a little hint of this. What does it mean, or is Zaru Latzadik? What does it mean to plant the or? It's a beautiful image, but it's a funny image. I'm planting light. What does that mean? When Kadosh Baruch Hu created the world, Rashi told us in Parshas Bereishis, then Hashem created a light. It's a parsha of light, parsha's Bereishis. So much light described in the parsha. Vayhi Or, Kadosh Baruch Hu saw the light. Knew what was the light? It was a magnificent light. It was a light that the Gemara says that Adam Rishon could see from one end of the world to the other end of the world. It was a light that Kadosh Baruch Hu said is such a powerful light that I want to save it for the tzaddikim lasid level. Hashem created a light, put it in the world, and immediately after, put it away. He hid it away. Eventually we'll get back to that light. So says Rav Dessler, what's the point? You made the light, you put it in the world for 5 minutes, you took it away. So just Hashem, you knew it wasn't going to work in this world. So just take it from the beginning and put the light away. And when the tzaddikim are ready, lusted level, to enjoy that light, to use it in a positive way, in a proper way, so Hashem, you'll give back the light. What's the pshat? You give us the light, you take away the light. Rav Dessler says, the Kodesh Baruch Hu wanted us to taste a little bit of the light. Hashem says, taste a little bit of the light. Experience it a little bit. Adam Rishon had every one of us. All of our neshamos were found by Adam Rishon. Whether we remember it or not, we tasted a little bit of the light. And then Hashem takes it away, and Hashem says, now it's your job to get back to it. Or Zaruah Let Tzadik. Kodesh Baruch Hu gave us an opportunity these last many weeks to plant those bits of light. And now we come to Chodesh Mar Cheshvan. And now it all disappeared. Where'd the light go? All of a sudden, the light's gone. The idea of Mar Cheshvan is, let's start to get back to the light. Little by little. I'm not going to see it on the surface. You're foolish to go into this period expecting to be changed on the surface. You're a katan, the Baal Shem Tov says. If you're a gadol, you realize growth takes place in a different way. Mar Cheshvan. And when you learn Gemara, in Gemara sometimes it says Amar Mar. What does Amar Mar mean? Amar Mar means that we're going to return to a previously quoted passage in the Gemara. The Svarim explained Mar Cheshvan is that idea. Let's go back. We ran through this marathon. Let's go back now. Try to take a little piece, little by little by little, piece by piece, and let it to start to grow, to start to emerge. After this marathon of ore, we find ourselves in the dark. So I want to just end by quoting to you from the Sefer Be'eros HaMayim. Be'eros HaMayim was Rav Tzvi Hirsch HaKohen Miriminov, and he asked the question that this entire shiur is based on. Where do we go now? Where is our Ruletzal? We planted all this light, and now what? What are we supposed to do? We put all our light, we invested all our light into the ground. So how am I supposed to see for this next period of time? The Achshav, he describes after he goes through all the Yom Tovim, and he says, now that it's all said and done, this is what he writes by his writings on Simchas Torah. We're like a person who's walking around in the dark. Hashem, the little bit of light that you gave me, I invested, I planted in the ground. And now, what am I supposed to do for this next period of time? I'm walking in the dark in the forest. I'm Isyari Minakotzim Vachulu. I'm scared I'm going to fall into a ditch. I'm going to walk into a thorn bush. Who doesn't feel a little bit depressed? How can we not feel a little bit depressed after everything, all the exciting things we had now just to get back to... Stern's great, but come on. It doesn't compare to the Yom Tovim. It doesn't compare to being in Shul on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur. It just doesn't compare. So where do we go? Who doesn't feel a little bit of Mar Shchor, a little bit of depression, a little bit of Atzvus? And we know, Asher HaZeikon Yodua, we know it's not a healthy feeling. Hashem doesn't want us to walk around sad Jews. But we feel a little empty. Where do I turn? Where am I going to draw, he says, for my nefesh, my ruach, and my neshama, achius? Where am I going to draw it from? It's all invested in the ground. So he quotes the Gemara. The Gemara in Sota says, there's a fellow who's walking in the forest, and he's in the dark, and he has nowhere to turn, and all of a sudden he sees in the distance, he sees a little light. Nizdam nalo avuka shal or, says Rav Tzvi Hirsch of Riminov. What's the avuka shal or? Zeo perish nizdam nalo avuka shal or, hainu ner chanukah. He sees in the distance the light of the ner chanukah. When do we get to see the fruit? All the things we planted now, when does it finally get to sprout? As long as we keep watering during this period. As long as you believe it's there, eventually that light in the distance is going to emerge. It's going to burst forth. Or Zaruah Let Tzadik, that we started Yom Kippur, it emerges on Chanukah. All of that light comes rushing to the surface. So Mir Tashem, HaKadosh Baruch Hu should give us the strength to realize that in those moments of separation, after all of this intensity, when those moments of separation are felt, where Hashem's presence is not so strong, it's not so clear anymore, to believe with the confidence, like we said at the beginning, to believe like that Dr. Guardia, to realize that the Eitz Hara has no place here anymore. We're changed people. We may not feel it on the surface, we may not see it on the surface. The medicine's working. The child may still be on its back, but he's healthy. The doctor who knows how to look deep can see that the child is healthy. And Amir Tzashem, if we have that confidence and that trust in HaKadosh Baruch Hu and ourselves, we'll be zochet to see the beautiful fruits that will emerge from the orchard of our souls at the coming of Chanukah, which is not so far away. Thank you all so much and have a wonderful day.